Hello, everyone. Welcome to maybe the worst episode of Uncanny Treks we will ever record. Not because we're bad, but because the material is bad. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. We are talking Batman issue number 161, Batman volume 3, I believe it is. Hatoosh chapter 4, The Queen. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I would be so much better had I never read this issue.
Every issue of Hatoosh, to paraphrase Theodore Adorno, makes us dumber and worse.
The cover was cool.
Matt, you're going to notice, because I don't actually have that much to say about Hatoosh, I'm going to make a lot of comments about things that really have nothing to do with the story. The first one is maybe super obvious, but on the cover, we have the legacy numbering. I guess this has just always been the case, and I'm dumb, and I never noticed it, but the legacy number is in the triangle, Matt. It's straight up the inverted triangle from the 90s Superman. How did I not notice that?
When did they start doing that?
Maybe during the Zdarsky run, maybe a little before it in the Tinian run. I don't feel like they were doing it before that, although maybe I'm wrong.
So technically we're on Batman issue number 926.
Do you think they're going to let Fraction get to 1,000, or do you think they'll turn? Probably they'll turn it over. That'd be almost 70 issues. That'd be a lot.
That is a whole lot. Well, just judging by the cover, Bob, she's got batons now.
Yeah, she's got kind of Daredevil or Nightwing style batons. Daredevil and Nightwing tend to not have the side part of the baton, right? It's just the up and down Grima sticks or whatever.
Sticks.
Yeah, but I guess Batgirl needs batons too. Yeah, I don't know, man. Whatever.
Damian Wayne needs a sword.
I would prefer to talk about things that are not Hatoosh part two. So I'm also going to bring up on the ad, the interior cover ad. Did you notice that this is an ad for Gotham by Gaslight Justice League comic? Did you notice that the Green Lantern for the Gotham by Gaslight for the steampunk Victorian Justice League, it looks like Oliver Queen in Guy Gardner's outfit, which is very weird.
We've got Oliver Queen as a Green Lantern.
Dressed like Guy Gardner.
We got Cyborg with overalls on.
That's pretty, I'm not criticizing it, but that's unsurprising, right? That's where you go. I'm not shocked by that. I am a little shook by Oliver Queen as Guy Gardner. Yeah. To actually talk about the story, on page 3, we have Hush tell Batman the Joker cannot be trusted. Is that the dumbest, most obvious thing that Hush has ever said?
It's pretty obvious, Bob. I want to ask you something just about Hush talking in general. He's got these dotted lines around his speech bubbles. Is that because he's speaking quietly? Is that what I'm supposed to understand from that?
I believe that is what's
in a hushed tone.
He's gaspily.
Given the boy's weight and height, he'll bleed out in almost no time at all.
Castling at such an age, would I trade this rook for your...
Is that what I'm supposed to understand from this? That he's just constantly quiet and... The whole premise, too, when he was holding Tim Drake by the neck in the original Hush, it made more sense, because Tim wasn't quite the assassin that Damian Wayne is.
You just have to remember that Jeff Loeb has no regard for Damian as a character, has probably not read any comic where Damian is good, and just doesn't care.
Okay.
The only thing that Jeff Loeb cares less about than Damian is chess, and I guarantee you, Jeff Loeb has not thought about chess in 20 years, but then it was, I need a motif for my chapter titles in Hatoosh 2. What do I use? Chess.
Well, don't worry, Bob, because Damian's grandfather used to play chess, and that's why he has a button on his belt that calls little robot robins to come attack Hush.
Beautiful, Matt. Beautiful. To be honest with you, I'd already forgotten that had happened. But yes, you're right. I did have a question for you on page 5, Matt. This was established in an earlier issue, but I could not be bothered to look it up. We have a new villainess. She sort of looks like Dove from Hawk and Dove. She's got these Wildstorm armored claw arms. What's her name again?
Armor, Bob.
Oh, okay.
She's not armored.
Not to be confused with the X-Men armor. Great.
Yeah. Who's the Jason Momoa guy?
I don't know. I didn't care about him. I just thought the fact that she looked like what if Dove had joined Stormwatch in the 90s, that made her slightly curious, I guess would be the term I would use about her. I'd forgotten that Jeff Loeb was seeding the DC universe again, which, I mean, we're all so grateful for.
I really thought a woman with a big claw arm would be the comeback for Jeff Loeb.
The thing is, in 1993, he probably would have been right about that. Yeah. But it's not 1993.
Well,
it's not
1993. Thankfully, Damien brought Bane with his Venom to the party so that he could take out the Samoan bulldozer guy.
But then somebody reminded Jeff Loeb after he turned in the script for the previous issue that Bane had, in fact, killed Alfred. And so we have a whole scene of Batman putting the beat down on Bane to the distress of Damien, which makes no sense because as far as I know, Damien never made peace with Bane.
Yeah, but apparently Damien went through the trouble of getting Bane out of Blackgate, bringing him to Batman, and then all Bane does is take out the Samoan guy. And then Damien stops Bruce from jumping on a helicopter, which we've seen Bruce do a billion times. No sense. Then Bane helps pull up Batman.
It's real bad, man.
It's awful. So we have a full panel of Batman punching Bane to make sure we remember, oh yeah, you killed Alfred, just in case we all forgot.
Well, and then Matt, we have another fight too. We have another fight for reasons that if you want to explain them, you should feel free. But for reasons that I cannot comprehend, Batgirl, Batman fight.
Bob, we have Joker.
I knew we have to back it up.
So you can't leave out that Nightwing stops Jason Todd from attacking Joker. It doesn't make sense. I don't get what they're trying to. Why are these people trying to stop each other from taking out villains?
Well, because we need to have a conflict.
We need 8 more issues of this.
We have the Bat family splitting their loyalty amongst the villains, Matt. Civil War, but hushed part 2.
Well, how did you feel about Joker, Bob, at one point going, hush, little baby, don't you cry. Joker's going to make sure that you die.
I had no feelings about it at all, Matt.
Was that not creative, Bob? You didn't think that was...
It meant nothing to me, Matt.
Is he part of it? Is he in on it?
Yeah, maybe he's in on the conspiracy, Matt. Maybe he's in on the conspiracy. I do have to say, the fight between Batman and Batgirl is really lame, but I don't think they've ever made a big deal of Batman and Barbara Gordon fighting before, so that's interesting. It's not actually interesting, but it's just interesting that it was, I don't think, done before, and then Jeff Loeb did it here very poorly.
I do want to point out this, once again, I want to back it up just a little bit, Bob.
Matt, why are we, what, I don't, we get.
There's a table, Bob, with a bunch of little figurines.
It's clues. I bet it's clues to how the next issue is going to happen, and I don't care. I'm not going to remember.
Did you not catch on that James Gordon's face is slightly scarred? Then when you look at him in the hospital, he's got a bandage over his eye.
I did see that, Matt.
You think James Gordon's going to have an eye patch from now on, like Nick Fury?
I bet he will.
My best hope is that 3 months into the Fraction run, people forget that, and we just drop it. That's what I hope.
Did you notice that Alfred is still standing up? So either Jeff Loeb really didn't know Alfred was dead.
No, I totally missed that. Is that going to be the actual miracle of Hush 2, is that it resurrects Alfred?
Oh, boy. What if he's in on it? Did you like how we did a flashback to the original Hush, and then also No Man's Land, Killing Joke, but nothing after the original Hush?
Why would you expect Jeff Loeb to have read any comic about Batman in between Hush and Hush 2, Matt? That's pretty unreasonable.
This is so obvious what happened here, and it blows my mind. That's why this issue was delayed, Bob. I think he didn't know Alfred was dead.
Well, the other thing to keep going on the Batman-Batgirl fight is part of the lack of imagination of it is that it just happens basically in the same alley that the Batman-Gordon-Joker fight happened in Hush 1. There's just no other possible environment for any fight.
But Barbara has the power of invisibility now.
That's very special.
She's got the Terry McGinnis thing.
She's doing technological enhancements, man. She's doing technological enhancements.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Some would say the Terry McGinnis thing. Some would say the Miles Morales thing, but whatever.
And Batman's got infrared, and she knows this, so.
When the cavalry shows up, I guess I had 2 thoughts about the cavalry. I have 3 thoughts. One, Huntress, she was not in the earlier parts of Hush 2. Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't remember.
Okay, I don't think she was either, but I could be wrong. But did they maybe slightly tweak the Riddler costume on the last page to look a little less stupid? It still looks profoundly stupid. Does it maybe look a little less stupid than when we saw it like 2 issues ago?
Was he wearing the hood in the last one? I don't think he was.
I also don't know if I noticed that he had a tie on. And it's downplaying because he has the same basic tunic shirt that Hush and Jason Todd have. And that's downplayed a little, which helps. That shirt is awful.
He's not as bulky, and he doesn't have that the giant question mark on his chest. It's obscured by Nightwing's. It's hard to tell.
You're definitely right that maybe Riddler dropped his steroid use over the long delay in this comic coming out, which was definitely worth it. I'm really glad we waited.
I do want to point out that everybody has their weapon. You've got Huntress with her staff. You've got Riddler with his Riddler cane. You've got Nightwing with his Escrima sticks. You've got Catwoman with her whip. Damian Wayne does not have his sword.
But you see what he has in his right hand?
He does have some batarangs, it looks like, or some throwing Robin stars or something.
But yeah, my first thought was a claw weapon. But yeah, yeah. I think right that he's just holding batarangs in between his fingers.
Is this Damian Wayne's new costume?
It's just Jim Lee's version.
Oh, it's so Superman ugly.
Costume. God. Yeah, it's terrible. But so is everything that Jim Lee draws.
This is hideous. I wish they would have redesigned Huntress's costume since they redesigned it for the first touch.
This is actually an interesting point, is that Jim Lee's version of Huntress and Batgirl, while I don't like them, just because I don't like Jim Lee's art, you got to say that they're actually just pretty fair representations of Huntress and Batgirl's current costume. Unlike Catwoman's or Damian's, they're not awful.
I'm just glad he didn't go all out for Nightwing.
Well, Matt, I have two other non-Hush things to remark about. Did you look at the preview for Cheetah and Cheshire?
No, but I probably should have.
I'm interested to read that. I didn't actually look at the preview because I don't usually read previews. I just like reading, you know, issues and arcs. But Greg Rucka's writing it and Nicola Scott's drawing it. So when that miniseries is finished, that's something we might want to cover for the podcast. I like Rucka and Nicola Scott. That could be very good.
To also add on to this, Bob, you know, when this comic is to be continued, you do get this Cheetah and Cheshire Rob the Justice League preview.
And I did want to just briefly acknowledge, I actually didn't know until I saw this dedication that Jack Geis had died. He did some Superman work in definitely in the early 90s and I think in the late 80s. And the thing I most associate him with is he drew parts of the Ed Brubaker run on Captain America and on Winter Soldier. I really liked his art from that, but he did a lot of other stuff. He did a Sherlock Holmes pastiche with Mark Waid called Roos that I really liked. I think he was one of, if not the earliest artist on X-Factor back when it was the original five. And so just a really legendary artist for both Marvel and DC, maybe slightly more for Marvel, but also for DC. Didn't know he died, and I was very sad to learn from this awful comic that also a really good artist died. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. Well, listeners, we're assuming we will cover Hattush Hush 2 parts 5 and 6. We'll just have to see what we have to say. As you may have noticed from this episode, we didn't have much to say, but maybe when both parts are out of 5 and 6, which are the final two parts as I understand it, maybe when both parts are out, we'll do a single episode on both parts. Maybe we'll do one episode about 5, one episode about 6. Maybe we'll never talk about Hattush again. Who knows?
Bob, I got one big question for you. Hush's outfit, he has the H on his belt instead of on his chest. You like that better?
I don't like it, but I think it's a slight improvement than from having the H over his nipple. I will grant you that.
Should Hush always wear a bandolier?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, my preference is that Hush should just not appear. But if Hush has to appear, sure, give him a bandolier.
Bob, how did you feel about Joker having braces?
I did not feel good about it.
Okay.
I felt bad.
All right, Bob, I think we've exhausted this issue at this point.
I think we exhausted this issue 20 minutes ago, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what we've been doing in the interim. But yeah, this has been Uncanny Trek's covers. I'm not saying anything else.
Thanks for listening, folks.